Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timers back here on a Sunday morning. You already know what time it is. This is the All Around the Kitchen. I hope you guys are ready. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Welcome to the Sunday morning brunch, people. Let's go.
Welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing I got, one thing to wish you, people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City chance for Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody. Don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark and Moses and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs, man. We got a lot of stuff to jump into, man. A little bit of controversial stuff. Like I said, we got boxing. I'll say we got some baseball out there also. A little bit of football. I'm feeling a little personal about the football situation. It's in-house. And not even in Detroit, but it's in-house for me, though. But it's a family member, so I hope y'all can deal with it. We should be seeing people fill into the kitchen. You know, we do got somebody here now. Okay, so calling in by way of the state of Virginia, Mr. Simmons, a.k.a. Sirius, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, it's such a beautiful day in the neighborhood, man. It's such a privilege to be here in the building. You know, man, it's good to be here, man. What's up?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. Obviously, you know, even though he's in the middle of the metro and he's a Pennsylvania guy, me and him are at war right now throughout this weekend and you know, all the way until tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but until tomorrow with the Yankees and Minnesota. So this should be a good one with the Yankees and the Twins going at it. And they had to come back late yesterday in the ninth inning to win that game from us. Or we would have been up two games in this little series. But we're going to get into that, man. Hopefully we start to see people fill into this kitchen and do what we need to do. But the first and foremost, the one topic I want to get to, and America, you know, I'm going outside the kitchen. I'm reaching now. America's like we got to get along. Like, we got to get along because if this continues to go down the path that it's going, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. There's no, you know, activists out there taking sides or helping people correct their views, images, perspectives, or how people should be, or looking at it as supremacy or something like that. But I don't even want to totally spill that word out there. But we have an issue, and it is here in Connecticut, where the headquarters of ESPN have actually parted ways with Colin Cowherd. Now, interesting enough, he made a comment about Dominican baseball players. And this is where it actually draws for me, because a lot of great baseball players are of other ethnicities than Caucasian. And the latter part is, and I want to spill it to some of these guys right now, there are four pitchers that are going into the Hall of Fame, one of which that I respect and love the way that he pitched, being Pedro Martinez. Pedro Martinez is of Dominican descent, and you have a guy like Colin Cowherd, heavily respected, on ESPN, not only on ESPN, but also has a radio show in the morning as well, and they parted ways, and he's already got something set up with Fox Sports. Wink, wink, raising the eyebrows, especially with Fox and all this stuff with them and Bill O'Reilly. And this is just some of the pages that I'm for, or pictures that I'm painting for you. But I want to see how people feel about the situation around Colin Cowherd, him making this statement and already having something set up as he moves along in his professional career. Now, obviously, a lot of people don't want to talk about this, but controversy sells. You know what I'm saying? And just like I said, somebody's going to have to get in his ear to calm him down. And I don't know if this is something that he's pegged on, standing on to. Like I said, I still feel a certain way about what he said, I want to say, 7 or 8 years ago when he was talking about Sean Taylor's death. And everybody knows I'm a diehard Hurricane fan. My father loved the Redskins, so I know a ton about Sean Taylor and he was painting the image, well, Sean Taylor's a thug and he hangs around thugs, so what do you think is going to happen? So, you know, I already had an uneasy feeling about Colin Cowherd. Now he's going from that to a whole significant race or dynamic being played in the game of baseball. So I want to, you know, address this issue, kind of get this one out the way. We do have another chef in the building also. But, Sirius, I'll let you have at this one. Your thoughts on Colin Cowherd and the situation that he has going on as of now.
You know, it's very unfortunate. And I don't want to say unfortunate. That's a bad choice of words. I'm trying to be politically direct right now because, again, I have a lot.
Let it all go. Be yourself.
I have a lot of problems, you know, right now with, you know, these, you know, radio, TV personalities, you know, WWE stars and this, that, and the third, feeling like it's okay, you know, to stop popping off at the mouth and disrespecting, you know, a group of people. I think that, you know, this guy, for lack of a better word, is a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep it 100. I'm trying to be good, Sports City, but I'm going to keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? For you to sit there and go on, you know, and, you know, disrespect a whole group of people like that, you know, as Chandler would say, it's Bush League, you know, it's a coward move. Guaranteed you won't say none of that stuff, you know, to a Dominican face-to-face. And then to make matters worse, we all understand and we all know. Let's not turn a blind eye to what's really going on now. We understand the ramifications of Fox, the network itself. You know what I'm saying? So this network has been pretty forefront and, you know, white-collar, you know, America-type stuff. You know what I'm saying? So for him to get fired from ESPN and then to automatically have a job or something line up with Fox Sports, you know, a.k.a. the, you know, let's keep 100, you know, white-collar America network, if you will. Now, again, I don't have anything against Fox, per se. You know what I'm saying? I don't have anything against anybody who, you know, prefers Fox as their, you know, news provider, whatever the case may be. But let's look at this for what it really is. You know what I'm saying? I think this was the writing on the wall. I think, you know what I'm saying, this was an exit strategy. He wanted to leave ESPN. Fox sent him with a decent offer, so he decided to pop off at the mouth and say whatever the hell he has to say. I swear to goodness, if I'm a Dominican Republican, I see this dude, I'm putting a hollow tip on his head right now and during the time. I'm not even playing. And don't get me started on Hulk Hogan's bitch ass neither, because this dude here, I keep it moving.
Okay. We'll get to the whole, we briefly discussed his situation, but we can get there. Actually, I don't even really think we touched Hulk Hogan, so we can get there. Calling in by way of the state of Arizona, I hope you are somewhere near an air conditioner or central AC, something, because I've been hearing stories about how hot it is out there in that desert. One of my homies is in Vegas. And also that fire just happened in Vegas, too. So he's been telling me about all of this heat stuff. So I hope you are okay, Mr. Silver, a.k.a. Nacho. Welcome to the Brunch Hour. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, I'm feeling good. I spent the last night in Prescott Valley, which is a couple hours north of me in Phoenix, and it was a little cooler. Spent the entire ride back down here in the AC and ran from my car to my house to get back in the AC.
Right.
And it was 6 o'clock this morning when I did that. It is hot, so I understand that. But get right into this. Colin Cowherd, I listened to that man. I listened to him mostly a lot. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday he came out and said he was no longer working for ESPN. He got a new job. He spent about 35, 45 minutes on it, thanking ESPN, thanking everyone, thanking ESPN for letting him come on. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, and say that he's leaving. And his final date was supposed to be this Friday coming up. So he was no longer working for ESPN at all before this incident even happened. This was subsequently what I thought, him being able to say whatever he feels, no matter if it's true or not, to say how much he feels about anything at all. And this just so happened to come out of his mouth. Now, do I think if he had contract talks with ESPN and he was going to try a new deal, do I think he would have said something like this? Probably not. I heard what he said. So in curiosity, as a human, I went and checked. You know, I wanted to see how the Dominican public relates to education and how smart this country is. This country is not really smart as it pertains to the numbers and the educational system and what they do, ranking at the bottom of every list out of 177 out of 231 countries. Up until recently, the past year or two, it has been the downtrend of that country. What is it? I believe it's 48% don't graduate high school. And it's just so much in the rural areas, which is the majority of that. The numbers are subsequently way lower because they only go up to grade five. So I don't agree with how he said it. The premise of what he was saying is not necessarily false. It's a country of not intelligent people. I mean, let's not be fake about anything. We want to be real, right? This country ranks at the bottom of almost every list in education, and that's for a reason. It's not because these people are subsequently just born dumb. They just have no educational system to educate and make these people smarter. That's where I think he was going with it, which is not a smart way to do it, I guess. But I just don't like the fact that he used the entire baseball realm. Now, if he wanted to go off and say something about the Dominican Republic as a country, I don't think I would have a problem. But the fact that he picked out the baseball players, who probably are the smartest ones from that country, they went to education, they have to, and they, you know, learned the sport of baseball. So I don't think that was the allotment of group of people he should have chose to, you know, call a country not smart. But real is real. The country isn't one of the smartest in the world. So it's not like he was being wrong. I just think the people he was talking about, it didn't quite make sense for, because the Dominican Republicans in the baseball world, in the MLB, they're probably some of the smartest from that country. So that's why I don't think that was the proper analogy to use. But was he wrong for calling the Dominican Republican country a not smart country? Probably not. But for calling the players in the MLB, relating them as not as smart as their countrymen, it's probably not the smartest thing for me.
Okay, now here's where I actually kind of called myself out, right? Now, a lot of the analysts and people that speak radio-wise or, you know, hosts or whatever, anchors for sports situations, I listen to all of them. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't. I listen to every last one of them, and I'm including names from Skip Bayless to Stephen A. Smith to doggone Colin Cowherd, even though I don't like him, to Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick, my favorite. I can't lie. Dan Patrick is my favorite. I love to listen to Dan Patrick. Realist. All of these guys that, you know, that go out there and speak sports, I take a piece from each and every one of them on how I'm going to present myself, speak on sports, so on and so forth. How would it be if I sat up here and started speaking in a racial text or term about another race, let alone that there could be other people in those races that I'm speaking on that could be more advanced or better in the situation that I'm in right now? And what actually bothers me about this is because not only have I gone to college with Dominican people, male and female, not just a female, where everybody's like, oh, well, females excel better than males in certain, you know, certain ethnicities, so on and so forth, male and female in college. And not only that, where I work at in a Monday through Friday situation, I got Dominican people that work with me in an office setting. So I don't get it where he's pegging them as being, you know, I don't even want to really say slow or probably have educational disabilities, because I know Dominican people that are intelligent, that do their thing, whether it's in their profession or whether it's being done athletically at the end of the day. So it's like, Colin, why build this situation? And how many people are going to gravitate to him to Fox Sports? Or how many people just are just stuck in their ways in Fox Sports that are going to just open arm receive him there? Now, this is something that not only is he a guy that's in front of the media, not only on TV as in visual, but also in audio on radio as well. How many people are reaching out to him, still following him? I bet you it's over a couple tens of thousands of people. It's not going to be hundreds of people that are following him. This guy has a big hand in the world of sports at the end of the day. And the one thing that actually bothers me right now is because Pedro is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And the interesting thing about Pedro talking about him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame is guess what? Colin Cowherd. Like really, he's talking about, oh, well, Dominican people are, you're going to be better moving on. There's going to be more Dominican players from the Dominican Republic that are going to be in the Hall of Fame. I agree, because if you leave it to David Ortiz, Big Poppy, he's one of the names going to be there. And if they do, and I don't know about what Major League Baseball is going to do with the steroid era, but there are some players that are Dominican descent that have, you know, been caught in the list of, you know, being caught up in a steroid situation, like A-Rod or like Manny Ramirez or like Sammy Sosa. Like, these are some of the names that I'm mentioning from the DR. You know what I'm saying? Like, once they clear that, because A-Rod is on a tear right now, A-Rod is going to be part of the 700 home run club, and he's a user. You know what I'm saying? Just like Barry Bonds. I mean, they're holding big-time names out of the hall, which they got caught cheated, but they, like, are they going to really sit on A-Rod as they let him back into the sport and he's dominating once again at the age of 40? I think so. So, I think this is actually tasteless by Colin Cowherd, and I wonder how it progresses for him moving forward. Now, I'm not the one that wants to start up some rampage and be like, everybody boycott Colin Cowherd, but he has the one, I think, try to address this apology somehow publicly, and don't sound like you read it out or wrote it out or somebody gave you something to read. It needs to be something that's said from the heart, like you truly mean it. And secondly, to put some heat on him, and the heat that I'm talking about is, put Pedro in front of him. Let Pedro talk to him. Pedro may not have the best of English, but I bet you he can hold a conversation with you. And the worst part about
Bernie
it is
Williams would be the greatest guy right there for that. Throw Bernie Williams at him.
Well, Bernie's Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
so,
even still,
like, if they're that bad, then why didn't they get hired by a Major League Baseball team and said, well, we'll pay you $12,000 to play ball? They knew how to count. They knew how to count a couple million, that's for sure. So, I don't know. I think they need to put some heat on Colin Cowherd at the end of the day. I just don't feel comfortable with him calling out a dynamic, you know, race or ethnicity in the sport of baseball, which he covers. He covers baseball. So it's not like he just took an aim at him and just tried to take a shot in the dark. He knows what he's doing. So that's one thing I wanted to get out there. Anything else that you two want to say toward it, whether serious or nacho, about Colin Cowherd?
I'm going to say this, you know, and then we keep it moving. I mean, I understand where Nacho's coming from. And, again, he did say, you know, when he was speaking that, you know, he probably should not have used the tone in which he was using. But I have a hard time giving him a pass, you know, based on statistics that he may or may not have found. I have a hard time, you know, saying, you know what, okay, you're justified for saying what you have to say because, you know, you got the cat like Pedro Martinez who, you know, for lack of a better phrase, does not speak all that well or whatever the case may be. So, you know, when you're a public figure, when you're a guy who, you know, has the power to influence the millions of thousands of millions of people, and, you know, you have a face, you know, on the TV and a voice on the radio, you really have to think long and hard about how you say stuff, especially in today's day and age when, you know, when the race card and, you know, people get offended at the drop of a hat. You know, I was in an argument on Facebook yesterday about how I felt about, you know, Hollywood Hulk Hogan situation. And one of my men said it like this, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's in today's day and age is finding reasons to take offense and to blow your spot way out, you know what I'm saying? I mean, even in my own personal life, you know what I'm saying? There are things that I used to say and things that I used to do that I can't do no more because I'm an African-American male and don't want to be misconstrued as being, you know, a racist or be misconstrued as being somebody who is insensitive or, you know, you kind of fill in the blank there. So if you're Colin Cowherd in this situation, somebody has to be speaking in your ear to let you know that, hey, this is 21st century, this is 2015. We got, you know, policemen killing off, killing, you know, innocent people. We got, you know, other celebrities, you know, getting fired from their jobs and saying dumb shit. You really got to be, you know, more in tune with what's going on and not say something that could potentially take money out of your pocket and lose you fans, because I'm pretty sure that some Dominican Republican, you know, people listen and follow this man, and now they are not because of what he's gonna, because of what he said. So, I mean, I see where Nacho's coming from, but in the same token, you really got to be smarter in this day and age and not put yourself in those type of positions.
Okay, Nacho, anything that you'd like to address before we get away from Colin Cowherd? Because it's interesting that Aaron brought up an interesting name in sports also.
No, we can move on.
Okay, so the next guy, and I know this is something that you do follow, Nacho, is wrestling. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. back in the day when I was watching wrestle when I was a younger kid, I want to say from probably 4 up to the age of like 11, 12, where I stopped watching wrestling, just fully devoted to every sport possible. That was my favorite wrestler, I'm not going to lie, being Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. Terry Bollea. If I'm butchering his name, I apologize. I don't want to say it in any wrong text, if you will. But now Hulk Hogan not only got caught in a conversation that he had on a radio station about how him and Booker T, one of the wrestlers, you know, addressed one another and how he was using it in a gesture as being a friend or being cool or hip or whatever. But they also have another conversation that he had where he addressed it that his daughter is having a relationship or is, you know, having a sexual relation with a African American. And he actually said it kind of frustrated and to the text of, this is what bothered me, because this is actually in general to almost everybody I know in the African American descent or demographic, if you will. Now, he says, if she's going to have sexual relations with an African-American, well, that's not the word that he used. That's not the word that he used. But if so, I'd rather he be 8 feet tall and making millions of dollars. So if he's not an athlete like Shaquille O'Neal or Hakeem Olajuwon or Patrick Ewing, then you're not worth it. Like everybody, probably not even Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan's 6'6". So 8 feet tall, but I know what he meant, that these guys had to be giants and have money in their pocket and not some random guy that she's meeting at a club or something. Who knows how he meant it, but now he's backtracking and you know, trying to apologize because not only did he hurt himself, the WWE wants nothing to do with him, and let alone I live right here in Stamford, Connecticut. The headquarters of the WWE is right here in Stamford, Connecticut, so there's an uproar around the Hulk Hogan situation. So it's interesting that Sirius brought that one up. But Nacho, I'll come to you first because you do actually know about the wrestling game and how severe this situation is, because people got mad at me and I said that he was the face of wrestling. They were like, he was. But I'm like, he's the face of the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. You know what I mean? Like one of the guys, and probably still to this day after the statement has been made, he's still one of the biggest names, biggest faces in wrestling. And I just want to know people's thoughts and opinions around this situation from a guy like Hulk Hogan, where he's basically, I guess, been holding this situation in on how he truly felt about African-Americans, and that's not the way that he used the term.
You know, the interview was his interviewer was a black man, and he was in the pertaining. There's actually a clip on YouTube, if you want to look it up, where Booker T walks up to Hulk Hogan, slaps him on the back, calls him his N-word, and says, let's go, because they're in a tag team match together or something like that, or they're passing in the hall. This was on live television back in the 90s. This, you know, it is what it is. I believe it was a pay-per-view event. I'm sorry. It was a pay-per-view event. So it's something that he's been around, that he hears, and I don't want to misconstrue the conversation, but the conversation was, and pertaining to the N-word, him using it with Booker T and Lil Wayne and his friends in Miami, his rapper friends, quote-unquote, in Miami, how they used it and towards him and how he, you know, how it went down. That's the interview that I have heard or saw from. Now, there's other things from an 07 interview I believe, where he says other, you know, racist comments, where he says, I believe he says, I am a racist, and the N-word with the hard E-R at the end of it. That is something that I don't condone. But sitting there talking to a black radio host about how other black men that you've been friends with for 50, 20 plus years, how they use it towards you in the context that they use it, be you being a white man, how do you feel about it? I don't think that's anything wrong with that. Now, the interview from, I believe it is 07, I don't want to get it wrong precisely. I believe Gawker brought it out. It's where he says, you know, in quote unquote, I am a racist, and the hard ER, and he goes off and things like that on a rant, so to speak. I don't condone that. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he was intoxicated or what may be why he would let his brain say the things that he said, you know, or unless he was in sober right mind, and that's just how he feels, which inevitably is the wrong thing. As it pertains to him in the WWF, WWE, WCW worlds, the wrestling worlds, he is the face. You ask 100 people on the street, race, age, dynamic, whatever, who a WWF, WWE wrestler is, their top two names are going to be Hulk Hogan and The Rock, with the exception of you might hear a Stone Cold in there for a hardcore fan that you meet in that 100. Those two names are the names in this world that are a cut above the rest when it pertains to popularity, when it pertains to them being recognized. When you talk to someone, someone has inevitably, everyone, and it's hard for me to say everyone, but I think everyone in this world has seen him lift Andre the Giant and body slam him. I think everyone in the world has seen him fight The Rock at WrestleMania. It's just the thing that, you know, even if you're not a WWE fan, you know about him. You know someone who talks about him, so you know about him. It's just how it is. Hulk Hogan was not my favorite. He was not one of my favorite growing up, because he was red and yellow Hogan when I was growing up. It was not until the Attitude Era, black and white NWO Hogan, the heel Hogan came, and that was my all-time favorite. NWO for life, all that good stuff. That's when he was able to show that not only could he be America's hero, but he could also be a bad guy that everyone in this that likes this sport that can love. So, yeah, you are right. As it pertains to the Mount Rushmore, there is four faces. Hulk Hogan is one, and it is quite possibly the biggest one on there. There is probably no one ever in the world of wrestling that can be bigger than him. So this is a hard fall for him. This is a hard fall for wrestling fans who have grown up with the guy, who's still in it. He was on the WWE Tough Enough Challenge, which is, you know, you get regular Joes to try out to be WWE superstars. He was guiding them. He is now no longer on that. He cut ties with all WWE. I'm just not a fan of what he said in the rant, the racist rant interview. But talking about Booker T and Lil Wayne and Rick Ross and how those guys and how it feels being a white man being addressed like that, I don't think that was a wrong question for a black DJ to ask him and for him to answer. But for the racist rant, where, like I said, he used the hard ER and he went on and talked about his daughter and things like that, that is not that is not the Hogan that we all thought we knew. So we're definitely not, you know, excited about it. We want to hear what Hogan has to say about it. And it's just, it's hard because, like you said, the face of all faces in this industry, is taking a really hard tumble from the tippy top of the mountain where he has been. And even to this day, even though John Cena is the face of WWE in the ring and in arenas, Hulk Hogan is still at the top of this mountain in WWE. That's the name everyone still knows.
Yeah, and I don't even think John Cena is in the arena to be compared to the likes of a Hulk Hogan or a Sting.
No. I don't mean to put him in that, but every era, and this is getting into my fandom, every era has a face of the era. The Attitude Era was Stone Cold Steve Austin and to somewhat degree The Rock. Before that was the WWF era, which is the Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, that era. And then the PG era, which is now, that is John Cena's era. This is him. He is the face of this era. So right now, if you were to talk to a young fan, 15 to 22, they're going to say John Cena is probably the face of the franchise right now, and then it would be Hulk Hogan. But if you, like I said, if you talk to the random people, the maybe the 20 and uppers, they're going to tell you Hulk Hogan still. And like the fact that he was still on TV in prime time on USA Network doing the Tough Enough proves where he was at still, you know, what is it, 16, 17 years of being out of the ring.
Okay, and the reason why I had to say it like that is because not only is Hulk Hogan a relevant name in the sport, he had a contract still rolling with Vince McMahon and that until he's 70, because he's at the age of 67, still out there, you know, doing this thing, so on and so forth, selling merchandise. That, you know, his name is still relevant to, just like you said, I want to say the people that are above, you know, like the number you threw out there, but I think it's probably higher than 20-year-olds, more or less like 25 to 32 and up, because he's been in the game since the late 70s, if you want to really go back as far as he was, and then his name got real big in the mid-80s. So it's just tough, because let alone, not only are you throwing out the situation that he said it to, like, Birdman and Lil Wayne and you know, Booker T, I think that was, you know, the hidden feature. And there was somebody that I spoke with about, you know, I'd rather you keep it real and stay true to your form, because I respect you more instead of you being fake or phony at the end of the day, and trying to keep everything clear to make sure everybody's still being a friend of yours while you feel another way about them behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't genuinely like the person of that other ethnicity. So that's where I do understand where my friend did come from with that that discussion or you know, that we had about the Hulk Hogan situation. Now, Sirius, I know you brought this up. Your thoughts on the scenario around Hulk Hogan, and knowing that we just went from Colin Cowherd and his situation on how he feels about a certain, you know, ethnicity or race, now we have Hulk Hogan, relevantly enough, making a same gesture around about African Americans in a different tone.
You know, man, when this whole thing dropped, I was enraged. You know, I wasn't as upset about the Colin Cowherd situation like I was Hollywood Hulk Hogan, because, like my man Nacho said, I grew up in that Hollywood Hulk Hogan era. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you were talking about the Mount Rushmore of the WWF, WWE. There should be nobody, you know, before Hollywood Hulk Hogan. You know, Triple H, baby, but, you know, Hollywood still is selling out arenas and this, that, and the third. So when, you know, and for me, you know, after his wrestling days were done, before he came back to TNA, you know, I was one of these guys that watched his reality show, you know, with his ex-wife and his daughter and this, that, and the third, because I was such a huge fan. This dude garnished so many fans and so many followers. And what happens, you know, in the confines of, you know, your group setting happens in the confines of your group setting. I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a Caucasian friend, you know, who we dap each other up and he drops to NA or whatever the case may be, or, you know, another race, you know, in your circle, you know, the circle governs what's acceptable and what's not. Let's be clear about that. You know what I'm saying? When it becomes a problem, ladies and gentlemen, again, Nacho hit the nail on the head, is when you go outside your circle and you honestly believe that it's okay to talk and act and behave as though you're still inside your circle. To say what he said about Brooke, you know, dating, you know, an African-American brother who has to have these type of demographics and, you know, this type of body structure and this, that, and the third, and make this type of money, disrespectful. It really is, you know. And in my opinion, you know, love has no color. Love has no, you know, no social status, you know, money in your pocket. You fell in love with who you fell in love with. You know, and Brooks just so happens to fall in love with an African-American brother who flips burgers at Burger King. That's just so happened to be what the situation may be. You know, Hulk Hogan, you know, should have been man enough and grown up to understand, yo,
This is who my daughter fell in love with. Now, let's keep it 100, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not gonna be lying in the bush with this situation. You know what I'm saying? I'm an African-American brother. My parents raised me in such a way that they would prefer me to stray a certain way. But as you get older and as you get grown and as you figure out what you want for your life, you got to be able to get to a place where you're able to figure stuff out for yourself and you're able to figure stuff out, you know, and figure out which way you want to go. So it's very unfortunate for me that Hollywood Hulk Hogan has come out and said this, that, and the third. And then, if this ain't the icing on the damn cake, okay, this dude is now going throughout the gyms and going throughout America, snapping pictures and loading his Facebook profile with him taking pictures of nothing but African-American people. And that is a slap in the damn face, if I've ever seen one. It baffles me, you know what I'm saying? If you look at Hollywood Hulk Hogan's Facebook timeline, if you look at his Twitter feed, because, again, I follow the brother because, again, I was a fan. This dude is taking pictures with nothing but African-American men. As if to say, you know what, I lied. It's like, I didn't mean what I say. My words got twisted. Bro, I'm sorry. It's unfortunate that you allowed yourself to get caught up in the misrepresentation of circles. But I'm done with you, bro. I mean, you know, Vince McMahon can several times with you. I'm sure your merchandise is still going to sell because, again, the diehards like myself and Nacho and a couple of the other ones understand what you brought to the sport and what you brought to the industry. You know, WrestleMania 3 will go down in infamy, you know what I'm saying, for when you picked up Andre the Giant and put him on his big-ass head, may he rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that's going to go down in infamy, the constant battles you have with Shawn Michaels, you know, another pioneer, and there's been this the Undertaker who's still doing it now. You know what I mean? These guys and your battles will live on forever. You know what I'm saying? But, unfortunately, you know, you opened your mouth, inserted your foot, and misrepresented where you were, and now you're losing a bunch of fans and dollars because of it.
Okay, we do have somebody accused, Chef, out of South Carolina. Interesting enough, he's in South Carolina where all of this stuff has happened. Chandler Knight, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Good morning. I apologize, everybody. It's been a rough week. I got some things going on. I overslept. So first off, I apologize. How's everybody doing?
We doing all right. We good. And interesting enough, I know this is something that you wanted to touch on. I kind of wanted to touch on it and kind of get past it, but I see that everybody has a strong opinion about this. So this is actually a great topic to set off. So I know the first topic you missed, I know was something that you wanted to hit on. I tried to get you your cup of coffee to get to it. So I know you probably want to talk about Colin Cowherd first and also the Hulk Hogan situation. And especially with you being in the eye of the storm in South Carolina, where everything has been focused on around, you know, the tension and the flag and so on and so forth. I mean, your thoughts on both before we move on.
Well, the Hulk Hogan thing, one, I wasn't surprised by what he said. See, I've never been a person who idolized, heroed, or any other thing somebody I didn't know. If I didn't know you, I said, okay, you're really good at what you do, but the word hero or idol has never come out of my mouth about somebody I didn't know. So it didn't surprise me. It didn't bother me. It's just that was like, oh, one of my heroes. Man, was my hero. I don't know him. And one of the things I found years and years ago as a child was parents are extremely tolerant of other races until their child brings one home. Then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you see a whole different thing.
That's true.
What I find disgusting are the people of color who are now willing to take pictures with this man and try to justify what he said. No justification for what he said. This is how he feels. This is how he feels. Now, if you still choose to want to make excuses for him, that's on you. That's on you. But the people who are now going on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and trying to find a way to defend him. Are you stupid? The man's a racist. It's who he is. I don't care all the years that in the public you saw him doing this and in the public you saw him doing that. This is not what he was doing in his private life. This is not how he felt in his private life. In his secret heart, this is how he feels. I'm not surprised by it at all. You have, if you look at WWE and the caricatures they've made of people of color of every race in the years they've been around, why would anybody be surprised? The signal that John Cena makes, where everybody says, oh, you can't see me. No, actually what that symbol means is the NYPD, I know for a fact, used to use that in the 60s, and they would use that hand gesture to designate somebody as black. They didn't want to say the word. So they would wave their hand in front of their face when they were in mixed company, and that was a way to describe the person that they had just arrested as being black.
Wow.
But you got all kind of people doing that. People don't know that, but that's what that actually means. So, you know, if you want to defend them, you can defend them. I'm not. Man's a racist, plain and simple. And it came out because of his child. Because he was afraid his daughter was sleeping with one of us. Those words are vile and hateful. No justification for that. So I'm not trying to hear it. Again, same thing with Colin Cowherd. And to me, what Colin Cowherd said is far worse, to be quite honest with you. It's far worse. Because he basically said that if you come from a disadvantaged, poor area, you are stupid. He used the Dominican Republic. But, okay, Dominican Republic has some areas that are disadvantaged. So does Puerto Rico. So does New York. So does West Virginia. So does India. So basically what he said was if you are from an area that is not as developed, that has a high rate of illiteracy, that has a high rate of kids dropping out of school, you're stupid. He used the Dominican people as an example. So then he insulted basically the whole Latin American culture. And there's different, you know, you got Dominicans, you got Hispanics, you got Spanish, but he lumped everybody into that if you really think about it. How is that not worse than what Hulk Hogan did? Because change black for Dominican and say use the Bronx as your example. Or say West Virginia. West Virginia, for people that don't know, has one of the highest illiteracy rates per capita in the United States. So that means if you're from West Virginia, you're too stupid to do anything but play baseball. That's what Coward said. Insert disadvantaged area there and then think about what the man said. That's what everybody really should be outraged about. Because Coward, ESPN would not have fired him, and they actually didn't fire him. They just said they weren't going to put him back on the air. He's still drawing a paycheck from them until his contract ends. They weren't even going to do anything until the Major League Baseball Players Association, and kudos to them, stepped up and said, well, we're on your network. You want to interview us. We're not cooperating. And then ESPN pulled him from the air. So think about that for a minute.
And then basically they was going to let that fly if the MLB didn't threaten like that. That is interesting in itself. Man. And there's a couple of things that you hit on that I didn't even know about. I definitely didn't know about the 60s. I wasn't around for that situation, but let alone looking at it from a total demographic of him potentially calling out every area that has, lower standard of bringing money in, so on and so forth, and him calling them out, and people of Latino or Spanish descent. The Spanish descent is actually one of the more heavily populated, ethnicities around right now. So, I mean, like I said earlier in the show, I work with Dominican people that work in an office with me. So it's not like they're not intelligent. You know what I'm saying? They had to build themselves up and build their resume up to get the same type of quality job that I have as well. So it's tough that a guy like Colin Cowherd makes this type of statement, and let alone have a job to back him up as soon as ESPN lets him go. And out of all networks, it's Fox. Fox, the one that always you know, give the heavily perceived situation around a lot of ethnicity or racial tension divide, so on and so forth, they're already ready to bring him in with open arms now, let alone if he gets to go out there and say whatever he wants like he did previously with ESPN, and they, you know, kind of let this get swept under the rug like a Bill O'Reilly or like, what's his name, Rush Limbaugh, like guys like that that come on Fox and say what they want, how they want, when they want, you know, it draws question at the end of the day. So it is a tough scenario. And the reason why I brought this up was just before Chandler came here, but about everything that's going on down south in the South Carolina area and around the flag and why everything is so racially driven right now, to go from Colin Cowherd to now Hulk Hogan, like I said, it has to stop. Like something, and there's no leader out there. There's no public speaker. A lot of people are like, well, Obama needs to do something. How many people are listening to Obama? Like, people are ready to peg Obama to anything wrong. Like, so we the people out here, every race possible. We can't even be like, oh, well, just white and black or just Spanish. Everybody together, somehow, some way, got to take steps to make this a better place, man. Because right now, it's looking like doomsday down the road. It really is. Anything left behind it before we get away from it? Any of you? Okay, the silence does help me. Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Excellent start to the show. I didn't think it had this much behind it, but boy, it did it. Okay, so I don't know if y'all guys got wind of it. I know Nacho may know a little bit about it. You know, somebody that's within the family of mine, Damon Powell, got shot in Ohio at his house in his driveway. He is a rookie receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. They're actually already pegging him, saying that he won't probably make the cut, knowing that the Cardinals are loaded at the wide receiver position. But knowing how bad the situation is, that this guy is trying to do everything with trying to make the team, so on and so forth, I want to know your thoughts of how it is getting bad out here, especially with him being at home and not knowing the full detail of the story, if he had some type of beef out there or some tension was going on out there. But for him to, you know, not be safe on his own turf or at his own house, Nacho, I'll let you spark this one up. Damon Powell being shot and knowing that he has aspirations to play in the NFL.
You know, without knowing the full extent of the story, and like you said, what went down, how it went down, how getting shot, I'm just going to look at this as taking an injury to this severity as a rookie. It's very hard. And the fact that it's in the head, you never know what could come about of it. Where, eyes, you know, that's the only thing you would probably be worried about is your eyes. Anything else you could, you know, probably overcome physically in the game of football, not having, you know, a cheek or something or a nostril, you know, you could overcome that in the game of football. But if you're talking about just how this goes, it's really sad to see that, you know, this thing happening still to these players getting shot or whatever the case may be. Now, again, this, we don't know what exactly went down, how it went down, if he's hanging around with the wrong people at the wrong time, or he's just in the wrong place walking through a neighborhood at the wrong time, or if he's at home or whatever, what have you. It's just sad to see. And, you know, they're probably going to let him go with the bevy receivers that Arizona has. It's going to be a sad situation. Just hoping for the best recovery, praying for him to get healthy, and hopefully one day he can make a roster. The talent was obviously there. He was on the roster. He was going to make it. So I think that it's just a sad situation all around. And, you know, without making any crazy accusations or saying anything outlandish without knowing the full story, all you can really just say right now is you know, you pray for the situation at hand, that he gets better. First and foremost, he gets healthy, and back to his regular life. And then hopefully he can pursue football again. But right now, as it pertains to football, I think he's just got to get better and get healthy.
Okay, and they said that it's not life-threatening, so that's the good thing about this. And they said that he will still be able to participate and play with the team, but I'm wondering where this injury may be, you know what I'm saying, and how bothersome it will be to try and play a contact sport, knowing you're fighting for your professional career life to make this team. Chandler, your thoughts on the situation around this rookie football player trying to make the Arizona Cardinal team with a facial injury or wound, if you will, from a gunshot?
I saw a little line across about it. Is he really related to you?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Otherwise, I would have called you. I didn't even know it. Because when I first saw the name Powell, I automatically went to I think it's your cousin that's trying to play NBA ball. So, but then when I saw football, I said, okay, it's not him. And I basically didn't pay it any attention. So I'll just go with what Nacho said. Hopefully the young man, and, you know, to me, everybody's younger than me because I'm like 20 years older than everybody. hopefully the young man gets better. Hopefully it's not something that's going to, you know, have an effect on the rest of his life. And then he gets an opportunity to play football after that. But my first concern always in these situations, you know, is that the person's okay. Not so much whether or not they'll be able to still play football or baseball or whatever the sport it is. It's more so that they're okay. Again, like Nacho said, without knowing, you know, the situation, I'm not going to, you know, jump up and down and tell my old house, you know, I'm not going to do all that because that's the knee jerk. We don't know what happened. So without knowing what happened, I'm just going to reserve any judgment and just hope that the young man is okay.
Right. Like I said, I want to find out more detail on it before, you know, I start to spill more into it. But knowing that he was in his own driveway and got a wound to his face is very sickening how widespread not only, you know, this gun situation is going on, and knowing that people have the right to bear arms, and I don't know how I need to feel about that. It's like, you know, people are trying to limit people on their firearms, and then, you know, other people are speaking on, well, what do you do if people are trying to attack you and you don't have a gun, so on and so forth. So I don't know. I'm actually caught in the in-between situation because I've seen people lose their lives senselessly or get wounded senselessly or be paralyzed because of stuff like that, or, you know, people be in a situation where they're not, you know, properly protected and, you know, get robbed and so on and so forth. So, like, I'm not even going to lie. I'm confused on which way to go with it, but it is a tough situation where this guy is trying to make a living, make it out of the hood, and this could be a setback or something that Arizona's like, well, he's not, you know, up to par to be ready to be NFL caliber, so on and so forth. So I'm trying to draw a line here, hoping that this violence will stop. And knowing that he was at home, it's just a terrible situation all in itself. Anything else around the situation before we get away from it? Okay, the silence tells me. Okay, so Nacho, we do have you. I got a couple more topics to go over, but I do want to address some of the stuff that happened last night, especially Kovalev's fight up against Mohammadi, was an early knockout, and him making his call out where he didn't address Adonis Stevenson as one of the names that he was trying to call out. But your thoughts on that fight last night with Kovalev knocking out Mohammadi early in that bout?
Now, I told you I was out of town last night, but I did get to watch it because I knew it was Kovalev and I knew the talent he was fighting was going to be a quick fight. So I was able to watch it. Didn't disappoint me, breaking a nose, ending the fight. I didn't anticipate it being a broken nose, but a knockout nonetheless. And it was just Kovalev being Kovalev. The guy fights within 4 months of each other his whole career. I'll get into that in just a second. But, you know, just the fight in and of itself. But it's Kovalev. Doing what we expected him to do in this fight, kind of shades of Cotto, shades of Canelo, fighting a lower-tier talent. You're supposed to dismantle him the way you're supposed to, and he did. And like you said, I didn't hear the post-fight interview, so you're going to have to tell me who he called out. But the fact that you told me he left off Adonis Stevenson means the fact that either he doesn't want to fight him, Stevenson being Kovalev, or you know, the parties are just so far apart on an agreement that they're not even going to talk about it. So as it pertains to that, obviously that's the fight we all want to see. But you have to tell me who he called out right after the fight, because I did not see the post-fight interview.
Well, one, I want you to tell me how you felt about Mohammadi dropping him. Kovalev actually fell in the fight. He dropped him.
You know, I didn't think too much into that. It wasn't anything that surprised me, so to speak. I do respect Mohammadi's power, but it was just a lucky catch, a lucky shot. I'm not really delving into that. Right after that, Kovalev went right into what he was supposed to do. And Kenny Bayless threw all he could, saved Mohammadi's second round. So it really didn't bother me. That's why I really didn't try to bring it up. You have to bring it up, though, I know. But it really didn't bother me as much to see it happen, because the way it went down, it was more of a lucky shot to me than I thought anything else. And like I said, you could see through the rounds, the talent level was just on Kovalev's side. He's just a better fighter last night.
Yeah, but, I mean, it could be a lucky shot, but that's a part of boxing, man. If he drops it, he drops it, man. I mean,
yeah, true. Yeah, you're right. But I was looking more or less at the fact that it wasn't consistent, and he wasn't going to be able to land it again. That's what my point is by lucky.
That's like saying Haseem Rockman, when he knocked out Lennox Lewis, he threw one hell of a haymaker, and Lennox couldn't respond. And Lennox got knocked out, or Oliver McCall knocking out Lennox Lewis. He couldn't respond, but he ended up getting those guys back at the end of the day. And the name that they threw out there for Kovalev, they didn't say Adonis' name at all, because it was Max Kellerman doing this. But he built up the height of, around Andre Ward. They want Ward and Kovalev to go at it. So your thoughts on that one, and the perspective on where they would probably have to meet, because I think Kovalev is heavier than Andre is. They probably would have to meet at a respective weight.
I think it would be 168. I think that's the weight they would meet at. This seems like a fight that would happen before Triple G Ward. Now, the fight talks are now for Triple G and David Lemieux to fight, so that way Triple G unifies the titles, gets the WBA, the WBC, and a couple, you know, the title names. He gets to unify them, making the winner of Canelo Cotto in November the mandatory to fight Triple G. So that necessarily takes out Triple G and Ward. So now when you throw the name of Kovalev in there with Ward, now that's an interesting fight. That's even way more interesting than I see Triple G Ward being, and you know my feelings toward Triple G. Now I think this is a fight where Ward jumping up to 168, Kovalev coming down to 168, this could be a fight that could be the most interesting and could be the most bang for the buck. Ward, we all know Ward's talent, that zero at the end. We all know Kovalev has that zero with that BS technical draw against Young. So he's got the zero still in my eyes. That would be a fight alongside Triple G Ward that I would want to see. I think I would push more towards Kovalev and Ward, get Ward to fight another high level. And if he can do what we saw him do against the likes of a Chad Dawson and things like that, being Ward against the Kovalev, he might want to move up and just stay in a bigger weight class and wait for Triple G to unify those middleweights and then move up there to meet him. So this could be an interesting thing to happen in these weight classes for the next year, half a year or so, till about next year, May, you know, maybe May or June. This could be interesting to see the winner of Canelo Cotto and Triple G fighting Triple G, and then that him possibly moving up after that fight and winning that fight and then moving up and then fighting either a Kovalev or a Ward, who one of them now would have a one instead of a zero. So it would be very interesting, and I'm very excited. And Max, great interviewer of all. I love Max in these last few interviews he's done post-fight. Kind of disappointed I didn't see it, but it's going to be, if that's the fight that they're talking now, and Kovalev is really determined to do that, I believe 168 would be the weight that they would go to, and it would be a weight that I think Kovalev and Ward would agree on.
Now look at you wanting to set up something for Ward. Well, okay. We'll get back to you on the Ward situation, but I want to ask you a very, very, very personal question. I'm going to get very personal with you on Sports City, right? I'm going to get real personal. Now, why, and don't get mad, I'm going to just do this for Sports City purposes. Why do people get mad at Floyd Mayweather because of the guys that he selects, so quote-unquote selects for the guys that he boxes or goes up against, right? But Triple G goes in and picks out David Lemieux, like, honest. Like now it's like, I feel some type of way because I do love and respect how Triple G fights, but some people told me, Ty, look at his resume. If everybody on his resume isn't a tomato can, you find one that's a quality fighter. And I started looking at Triple G's resume, right? And I'm like, wait, there really isn't no star power on his resume. Everybody that he's taking out, he's supposed to lay out, and he does it, right? So now he's fighting a guy, David Lemieux, which is a good contester, a challenger, if you will, in this fight, but you got Triple G being called out by Ward or the likes of seeing who wins the Cotto Canelo fight. Why is he not setting this fight up with these guys and going after a guy in David Lemieux, where we all know he should be able to handle his business? Like, you can even look at the makeup of David Lemieux and can tell he is no match for Triple G in that fight.
You know, go ahead, Chandler.
Let Chandler go. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say, after you get done, Nacho, I need to get in on that.
Okay, just real quick, okay. I'll get on the fact that Floyd Mayweather fights twice a year. Triple G has fought seven times in the last, I think, 10 months. Triple G fights way more often than almost any other fighter of his caliber fights. Triple G knocks out who he's supposed to, when he's supposed to, and that's the problem. It's a high-risk, low-reward fight against Triple G. No one wants to fight him because they know what they're going to get, a knockout. They're going to be slept on the floor, and they're going to lose money because now they're going to have one more loss on their record. The fact that he's fighting Lemieux is because Lemieux's got championships. Take those championships. This is what I've been talking about the whole time. You fight everyone who's got a belt, then no one can run from you anymore because you got everything everyone wants. So when it comes to Triple G not being able to fight top-level fighters, it's not his fault that when he's got to fight someone, he does what he's supposed to do. So the guy that he calls out after the fight is on the run. Cotto goes and runs from 160 because he's not a 160 fighter. He stole that championship from an injured Martinez. And now he's got to sit there and fight people at 154 and 155 instead of 160. And we'll get into Cotto on food fight, but that's disgusting in and of itself. Secondly, Mayweather's fighting a guy who is not a test for him. This is going to be the easiest cakewalk in all of free boxing. This is going to be on CBS. This further lets me know, and to your point, he's going for 50 in May. It's going to be a high-level talent competitor, but people are getting on him because of the fact that this shouldn't even be a real fight that real boxing fans should fathom in their minds. Andre Berto is not even worth a $5 pay-per-view. That's why it's free. So that's what they're getting at with the Mayweather comparison. And when you talk about Triple G, you have to look at the fact that you just said it. Everyone he's supposed to get in the ring and knock out, he's done it. And sometimes he's done it in spectacular fashion, even getting punched in the face while doing it. That scares a lot of boxers.
Okay, now, here's the interesting thing that I say about Gennady Golovkin. He is now 33, right? He's only fought for 9 years. Now, the interesting thing about it, a lot of boxers, especially when they're coming up in their early professional career, they fought at a rate of fighting 5 to 6 fights a year, where I'm giving him a good amount of credit for the amount of fights that he's taken in the last 2 years or so. It is enough to make people's heads, eyes pop out of their head, but he's had, 2 fights this year, and he's had 3 fights last year. So That's a total of 7 within the past from February of 2014 to now, which is a good alarming rate. But he's still well, I can't really say early because he is getting older because he's 33 as of now. So, like a lot of these guys that are in professional boxing back in that day, they were in their early 20s taking fights and, you know, having these lineup of fights and going on and so forth. So Noah Jannotti has these big names in front of him where I think there's more money, you know, significantly in front of him. Listen to these fights. Willie Monroe, Martin Murray, Marc Antonio Rubio, Daniel Gill, Asamanu Adama. Like, these are names that are not setting up big money fights for him. If he goes after Andre Ward, a Canelo, a Cotto, I doubt if they put him in front of Kovalev. They wouldn't want that because they don't want two European guys or, you know, guys from the Russia area going after each other. I think they try to leave that alone because they need that draw because, to be honest, I feel like Klitschko is probably 3 years from his retirement, maybe less, depending on what happens between him and Tyson Fury. But that's why I do this one up right now. Now, Chael, I know there was something that you wanted to speak on. Please elaborate.
Yeah, the Triple G thing, it's funny that you always want to defend Floyd Mayweather. Every boxer fights tomato cans until it's time for them to fight someone legitimate, which is usually the title shot. Now, since there aren't really a lot of contenders for Triple G to fight, and stop saying Andre Ward. Seriously, Andre Ward, come on, stop with that, man. Okay, stop with that.
What's wrong with Andre Ward?
He's a good fighter, but stop with that, okay? Stop with it. Triple G, not even 5 rounds, Ty. Not even 5 rounds. Triple G slice him up. Not even 5 rounds. Not trying to hear it. But anyway. There's two guys. There's Triple G and there's Canelo, okay? If they fight each other right now, one of them's never going to get a title. One of them's never going to get another shot because they're really trying to angle to beat a guy Mayweather fights, although we don't know if Mayweather ain't going to fight either one of them because he's scared to get beat up. But most boxers do that. So, you know, don't compare the whole, Floyd Mayweather at this point for his last fight, but for a fight to break a record, he's going to pick somebody in a wheelchair that's half blind with one leg. Come on, man. I'm not trying to hear that. Don't compare the two. But, hey, guys, listen, I appreciate y'all letting me in real quick. Some work thing came up, and I'm going to have to get off, man. But stop with the Andre Ward thing, man. Stop with the Andre Ward. Appreciate everybody. Nacho, Sirius, all you guys, man. Thanks for letting me on for a little bit, man. And I'll catch you guys on the flip side. But I will listen to your response, Ty, before I get off.
Okay. I don't know if you've watched Andre Ward do his thing, but I definitely disagree, heavily disagree with the claim that you threw to Andre Ward right now. And you said people that are fighting tomato cans, right? Triple G's whole resume is tomato cans. Matter of fact, I could call his resume Ragu. Ragu, the biggest name on his resume right now is Curtis Stevens. Curtis Stevens is the only big name up here. And Nacho knows, even when he fought Daniel Gill just a little while ago, I was calling him out, calling him straight out. Gill is nobody and got laid out in that fight, got laid out in his last couple of fights. Every one of these dudes that's on his resume, he knocked out, and it looks like he should have took care of business. Don't talk over me. Now, the fact of the matter is, I agree. I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you. Floyd had some type of obsession or infatuation to fight Andre Berto. He wanted to fight Andre Berto before the Manny Pacquiao fight even developed. He wanted Andre Berto then. I don't know why he's so tagged on trying to fight Andre Berto. I think more or less because Andre Berto tried to take his style in that one fight and got pummeled by Victor Ortiz. Or I actually, you know, looked at one of my friends and tried to draw the comparison. They was like, well, Floyd didn't knock nobody out in his last, like, 8 to 10 fights. This could be a fight that he could try and score a knockout and go out with a bang. And I'm like, I do agree with you because this could be a situation because Berto is not that fleet of foot, but he has his own style of fighting, and I really think this is going to be a fight that could challenge Floyd because he has power, but I don't think he's a match for Floyd, and let's be honest, Floyd did fight Canelo too, Chandler, so don't say that he didn't fight him. He did fight a horse before. He's fought knockout artists, and he took all those fights before, and it's about time that he had to settle down. I mean, he is getting close to 40, he don't want to be punch drunk, so I do understand where he's coming from to a certain extent. But the Andre Berto situation, I think that I agree with Nacho. That's why he wants to put this on CBS. He's still going to get paid from it. And you know everybody's going to watch it, knowing that it is free, to see how this does go down. And if he can end up potentially tying Rocky Marciano's record, which, you know, a lot of people, you know, think that that's a peg or a feather in the cap for him to actually at least tie Rocky Marciano. But everything is built around what could potentially happen in the upcoming May if he is to fight on after what happens in September, where they're actually trying to draw up another contract, which could be another blockbuster deal like he did, what, 3 years ago, where he signed the I think it was, what, $300 or $600 million for the next, for the following 3 years in that 2012 to 2015 situation. He's one fight away from finishing this off, and CBS and Showtime are kind of related. So I think this actually kind of helps Floyd, especially if he is to win this fight and go into May and fight a bigger name, whoever lies in front of him at the end of the day. But to each their own on that situation, especially for Mayweather to remove the middleman and kind of make this money for him. A lot of people have it pegged for him on how he selects his guys. But looking at this resume right now from his from 1 to 33, there has been nobody to jump off the charts yet. And his name is 34th fighter David Lemieux. I don't think anybody. And I'm not, to be honest, I may end up pissing you off for saying this. To be honest, I couldn't compare Triple G to Floyd Mayweather. I couldn't. Yeah, he's knocked these guys out. He's undefeated. He's doing work. And the one thing that I do like about Triple G is his post-conference interview, because he's trying to learn English and call dudes out. So it's fun to listen to him do this. But he's calling dudes out, and then next thing you know, he ends up fighting a Martin Murray, a Willie Monroe, a Marc Antonio Rubio. These guys are not big-name boxers in the sport, and he knows that. That's why I brought that up.
Because he likes to fight. He likes to fight. And when he calls these people out, they like to pitter-patter and twiddle their thumbs and make things their way and how they want it. Triple G wants to fight people. The people that step up to fight him, he's going to fight. He calls people out. That's all he could do. He can't make someone jump in the ring with him. He can't make these championship fighters step into the ring with him. He fights who wants to fight him, and he keeps going. After every fight, you hear it, he calls out the top competitors at his at 160 every fight. What do? They sit there and listen to him, and then they watch him go fight someone else while they're twiddling their thumbs, trying to figure out the best way to tactically make this man step in the ring so they can beat them. But they can't. So they sit there and watch him knockout guy after knockout guy. That's why this fight with David Lemieux, who you're poo-pooing on right now, who's 34-2 with 31 knockouts, who's also a hard puncher as well. I mean, just the fact that he's fighting a guy with the title so that he can unify it. This is what I've been saying all along. He's a high-risk, low-reward fighter right now. So the only way you make people fight you is have all the belts. So instead of trying to go fight Ward with no belts, or go fight someone else at a higher weight class, he wants to unify all the 160s, collect all the belts, and then move on. But nobody wants to do that. So he's got to go take them by himself. So now after he beats Lemieux, unifies these belts, then he's got to wait till November to the two guys. And to Chandler's point, they don't want Canelo and Triple G to fight too fast, because one of them's going to be done for, and both of them should be the cash cows when Floyd hangs it up. So they don't want both of these guys to fight each other too soon. But as it pertains to Cotto, Triple G was his mandatory before this fight. So what does that say about Cotto? I mean, we talk about Triple G not fighting anyone. His mandatory is Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto turns tail coat and runs and fights Canelo at a 155. That's all I'm saying. It's not his fault that he goes in there. Whoever wants to step up to the challenge steps up to the challenge. Is it his fault the level of talent they are? No. So he does what he does and knocks him out like he's supposed to. I don't see anything wrong with the fact that he calls out everyone after he knocks someone out and they don't fight him. How is that Triple G's fault? How is that his fault that when he gets in the ring, they say, you're supposed to knock this guy out. He does it. After the fight's over, he says, I want this guy, and this guy. They're at the top of 160. I want them in the best English he can. And when Max or whoever asks him about another name, he says, bring it on. Let's do it. We can work it out. We can fight. And what happens? He's got to fight some quote-unquote tomato can, because that's the only guy who thinks he could knock out Triple G that wants to step up and make the fight, because he wants to make a name for himself. But Triple G's got to prove once again that he's better than these guys. And that's all I'm trying to say. And I get what you're saying, the fact that they are tomato cans, quote-unquote, and we can pump up the numbers, so to speak, on most of these fighters, but it's not his fault that they're the only challengers willing to step up to the plate.
Right. But he can also turn these fights down, though. He can turn those guys down and make something happen with a bigger name. There are big names within this sport that could fight him that I think have technically a better boxing game. It's just that he has a ton of power that these guys don't end up wanting to get knocked out for. That's the only defense I could put toward a guy like Golovkin at the end of the day. But knowing that right now, Lemieux is more or less a scrimmage or a sparring round, if you will, before he could go up against these guys potentially. I think that this could actually set him back because he's only as good as the talent that he's facing. And I think with him still getting that draw, people still going to buy a Golovkin fight, I wonder when the big fighters are going to come his way. He's going to be 34 next April. He's going to be 34 next April and has not had a big prize fight yet. Yet. None. There's been no nothing. It's great to see these undefeated boxers do their thing, but a lot of these guys are at least going out there taking that one risk. He's fought 33 fights and nobody jumps off the chart right now. And I understand that, yeah, maybe be the situation that they don't want to fight him. But you actually seen yourself. You actually tagged me to the link about Ward calling him out. You seen it. Now, I don't know if it's a situation where the promoters, they want to stay away from this guy taking that first L, or this is a situation where everybody's kind of doing the Rocky Balboa or Apollo Creed and trying to call him out and heighten this thing up and see how much money draw they can get before this fight gets all said and done. That's the one thing that I did want to address. And see, it's Sports City. See, I know how to wake this boy up. I know how to give him some food. I sure do. But anything else you'd like to address before we get away from that one?
Oh, no, that's good on that one. Yeah, we got into it. But, yeah, we'll get some more into that, into the food fight. We'll definitely get into more Cotto as well, because what he's been doing the past little bit has been annoying as well.
Okay, so there's a couple more interesting fights since I got Chandler out of the way. I wanted to kind of throw baseball out there, but I can't now that he backed out on it. The one situation I do have is in front of the Fury fight that I just was talking about with Vladimir Klitschko. Your thoughts on this fight, finally, and I feel bad in saying it like this, poor city, but I have to. Finally, Klitschko gets a boxer that's taller than him, that has skill, and can present a problem. Now, the one thing that these boxers have always had a problem with figuring out in front of Vladimir Klitschko was how to get around that jab and watching him set people up with that 1-2, basically that left jab and that straight right that has been knocking dudes out in the heavyweight division. One by one. One, do you think Tyson Fury can get around this jab? And two, can Fury take all of those belts from Klitschko?
Tyson Fury's going to win this fight.
We got one.
You hit the nail right on the head. I believe this is the first fighter that Vladimir Klitschko has to actually look up a half a centimeter to meet him eye to eye. This is a fight that I don't know why he took it. Tyson Fury is going to win this fight. He's going to be able to avoid that jab with also his long reach. It's the worst fight for Klitschko to take at the end of his career. You said he was 3 years out. I think this is the knockout that puts him out of his career. Tyson Fury is the guy right now that I believe takes Klitschko out. It not only is it the height, the length, the reach, and he does have a power as well. But Klitschko, like you said, is jab, jab, look for the right. Jab, look for the right. That's all he is. We've seen it in all of his fights. His conditioning has gotten better, but the fight style is still the same. Tyson Fury is gonna bring it. He's gonna be able to get around that jab and be able to see that right coming like no other shorter fighter has ever done it. It's over for Klitschko. The run, the reign, it's done. Tyson Fury, I've been waiting for this fight. I've been waiting for him to get in there with him. It's now October 24th on HBO, and we're going to see the fall of a champion and Vladimir Klitschko.
Hey, I didn't want you to peg the winner already. We got some time. But whoa, he already for City. Look. This is I'm telling you, I got this. I'm not gonna get that boy up. I'm telling you. Now, Tyson has been doing his thing, no doubt. And looking for a big quality fighters. You also have other heavyweights in the division as well that are, you know, have decent records that could have gone up against Klitschko, but Klitschko didn't take those fights. Because I think this fight right here between him and Tyson Fury not only is a good match for him to actually prove himself up against a bigger boxer, or taller at least, I think Klitschko does outweigh him and is way more in great polished shape than Fury is. But Fury presents a problem because he also has reach too and works his jab as well. So, and I agree with you. I wonder why Klitschko did try to work this fight now, later in his career. Is it a situation where it could be big money behind it? That's the one thing that I am thinking about, just like I just spoke on the available toward the Floyd Mayweather situation and the Triple G's if you have that. So I think that's probably what it is. And the arena that they're actually fighting in, too, you know, everybody kind of gets up while they fight overseas. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I think they are in Wembley with this fight. I am going to look into it because I remember them taking pictures in a very big stadium. So I'm thinking that it might be Wembley that they might be fighting. It might be a different venue also. But knowing that it's a packed crowd to see either Fury or him win that fight, especially if Fury is to win that fight, that'd probably be the upset heard around the world. And just to picture how the crowd would probably gravitate toward Fury behind trying to take out Klitschko would be unimaginable, if you will. But I had to get that one out there. Now, anything else before we get away from that fight?
Yeah, the fight is actually being held in Amsterdam at the Esprit Arena. Esprit Arena in Dusseldorf, in Dusseldorf, Germany. That's where it's being held. Sorry, I didn't mean to say
that. Okay. And that's a stadium, too, because they were taking the photos outdoors, and it was huge. It was huge. So, you know, people are going to come and see that fight for sure. I didn't mean to cut you off, though.
Oh, no, yeah, it's huge. They're taking pictures in it. It's a giant open thing. You got the, you know, Tyson with no belts and Klitschko with every single one in his arms. That's the picture
right.
You're talking about. and so, yeah, that's what that fight's going to be. Yeah. And it's just going to be, like I said, it's exciting. And then you have, you know, and this is moving forward a little. I know we'll get more into it, but a Fury Wilder situation and the effects of the aftermath of this fight. So it could be something that, you know, Americans and heavyweights, we could be rooting again for him.
I'm actually proud of you on this one. That you're going with the underdog. This is big stuff because he usually likes favorites, people. He usually likes the favorites. What do you have anything that you want to address with the brunch, or I'll go with Sugar Shane's son in trouble. Sugar Shane's son has actually failed a drug test, and I wanted to know how you felt about that, especially with him trying to. They wanted him to fight on his father's card, but if you have another dish that you want to throw out there, please go ahead.
You know, I actually had a baseball dish for Chandler and you. It was pertaining to my Diamondbacks. Go ahead.
Throw it out. Throw it out there.
Oh, I was just going to ask again, you know, just pretty much he made a mention of the NL West not being a good division. But if I'm not mistaken, weren't there like Giants and the Dodgers vying for the World Series and it just seems like somebody from the NL West is always playing in the World Series, whether it be the Giants or the Dodgers being, you know, a run for it. So what did you guys or him mean by the NL West being the bottom of baseball? I mean, was it pertaining to just the on-field play and then the division? I'm like I said, I'm not a baseball aficionado. I just want to know what he meant by that because it seems to me, outside looking in, that someone from the NL West is recently been playing for that World Series or in contention for it.
Okay. I'll leave him to answer it, but I'm going to say it from my perspective. One, San Francisco has been the only one from the NL West competing for the World Series. The Dodgers make the playoffs and lose first round. Best case scenario, it might be the second round. The Dodgers have not been to the World Series since the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. They have not been there. So the Dodgers have been in a drought in itself. But they have good players there. Of course, they got Donnie Baseball managing them, Puig and their pitcher staff and Zach Greinke doing this thing, Clayton Kershaw. I don't know what Clayton Kershaw are you going to see. If you're going to see the dominated Clayton Kershaw, or are you going to see the guy that gets into the postseason and gets railed by a team that he should be out there being able to keep the score under four? You know what I'm saying? So I think San Francisco is more or less the challenge in the NL West. When you look at the rest of the division, including the San Diego Padres, which the Padres made a ton of moves to make this team be relevant in the NL West, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies all under 500 significantly. And the Giants, I give them credit because the Giants are doing this work after they watch people leave and they don't really have the full team there, but they still have some of their offense there that gives them some of the power that they have. And they are still in flux to still win the NL West because the Dodgers aren't taking off with this. They're only back two games from their not only state rival but their division rival, the Giants and the Dodgers. That rivalry is so big to the sport of baseball. But I do understand where you are coming from with the NOS trying to defend it and all. But if you look at how the division pairs out behind the Dodgers and the Giants, which we notably know about in that division, they're all under 500. They are not competing well, including your Diamondbacks, which you know about already.
Yes, yes. Like I said, outside looking in, it just seemed, put me in my place, so to speak. But that's all I really have for baseball. And like I said, I wanted to get Chandler's point of view, but he got out of here too quick for me.
Right. I wanted to ask him about Cole Hamels' no-hitter in Chicago. One of his probably – and Reggie Jackson getting into a scuffle with a fan that just wanted his autograph. I had that on slate, but I don't get him to get that one. And the Dallas Mavericks going after Samuel Dalembert, talking about trying to fill the hole with a center that people are still wondering if, other than him being 7 feet, does he really fit the mold of being a Tyson Chandler? But listen, I'll save that for him when I get him back in the kitchen, man. I need a plug and close out from you. We are at the doorstep and the end of the brunch today. Excellent show. And started off the way that I didn't think it would carry, and that conversation carried heavy here at the brunch today. Nacho, thank you for stopping by the kitchen. You already know. Give us that plug and close out.
At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We didn't get into it today, but hashtag back-to-back MVPs, NFL season around the corner. I'm excited. I still want to take Chandler Summer away no matter what he says. We need this football back. And then you mentioned Shane Jr. failing the drug test. Not only was he supposed to fight on the BKB, but he's also supposed to fight Saturday on the Kovalev fight undercard. So, he's missed out on money and certain things like that. So that's an unfortunate situation for him. Whatever comes out of it, I hope it's the best for him and he can move on and become a better boxer. As it pertains to everything else on the show, was amazing. Sirius, Chandler, Todd, thanks for letting me come on. Say my piece. Again, go Pack, go. This is going to be an amazing year. I know we didn't get to talk about it, but I'm very, very, very excited for what Sport City has in store for us as it pertains to football and the NFL coming up soon. And again, the food fight on Saturday. I'm going to get inside Cotto. I'm going to rip him a new one. So you might want to tune in.
Look at this. Look. And let me just help you out a little bit, Nacho. The next time you people hear the brunch, it will be August. August 2nd, that is. So football can't hide too much longer. Come out wherever you are, sportscitychef.com. Check out the website, the interview, the blog, the chef. We'll be back here tomorrow, Monday night. A good thing to talk about some baseball. Like I said, I wanted to talk Yankees Twins with Chandler. He left. I didn't get to any of that with him and Sirius, man, and both of them were Yankees fans. But it's great because we are even at 1-1. The tiebreaker is today. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sport City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing I got, one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sport City chef with Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy this every bite, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.